Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. It is rainy and nasty here in New York, but we are here to be the bright balls of sunshine that I know we can be.
I know we can be as well. It's not raining yet, but...
Yes, it is.
It is?
When I walked and I was like, drip, drop, like, you know, about to start. I made it just in time.
Interesting. So that's why the elephant is not in the room today.
How? If you...
I didn't mean it like that, but like...
If you... Fucking body shame my dog one more time.
That's on you.
I'm calling the police.
That's on you that your mind went there.
No, you say it all the time in one way or the other.
That I called you an elephant?
Yeah, not that, but you are always complimenting on his body.
Yes, complimenting. No. I'm always complimenting his physique.
Commenting on his body. And I just want to know, as Theo's representative, we're done with it.
Okay,
We're done with it.
I want you to know that I don't say anything about his body. I think he has such a beautiful physique. And when I said the elephant in the room, it was a figure of speech.
That I understand, actually, this time I don't think you were body shaming. But just as a general rule of thumb, you do it a lot.
And
you
also, like, justice for elephants, because they're born that way. So, like, you associating elephantness with being big...
No, actually, I don't follow.
I think that's on you.
I'm not following you there because elephants are enormous. Also, but like, can you actually not talk about elephants? Like, I'm still really recovering from this documentary I watched on Saturday, Cher and the Loneliest Elephant. And it was like, Kavan has really etched out a special place in my heart. So we just need to move on.
Okay, moving on from elephants. I was just trying to say Theo's not here today because of the rain. That's all I was trying to fucking say.
I also have some like errands to run today. So I just figured best to be hands-free.
Best to be Theo-free.
Unfortunately. I did want to point out that today, Jackie, and, well, I actually have decided
this was a Claudia initiative.
Yeah. I feel like we should talk about it because I brought up the gavels today because I don't know what we're going to talk about today. I just feel like justice is going to need to be served.
Okay, you're going to need a lighter. Yep.
It's not the same.
I know, but you need to just put some padding down because that's abrasive.
So let's talk about it because I brought out the gavels. I've been meaning to do it for a while. I just feel like they're such a part of our history and it is difficult for me to look down and say award-winning co-host, The Morning Breath, but we could just scratch that out.
Yeah, whatever. You can't see from that far away. Also...
No, but I want to talk about why do you hate the gavels?
Why do I hate the gavels?
I know you do, right?
I don't hate the gavels.
Yes, and you do.
I didn't plan for any justice to be served up today. I wasn't feeling that justice bug, but actually we do have some justice to serve up because we have come full circle on something. We started the gavels and the justice, and our two figures we were serving up justice for were David Foster, who I feel has gotten justice, and we've put that one to bed.
When Sarah and Aaron Foster came on the show, justice was completely served. Like, we could literally have burned these.
But the other person was Chris Humphries.
Oh my God,
we're
always
saying justice for Chris Humphries. And I feel that with the Keeping Up with the Kardashian reunion, like, he got a little bit of justice. Like, justice was served.
Do we need to close down the show? Like, we have no, like,
causes.
Meaning, like,
we have no causes. We are not cause-driven anymore.
Like, that's crazy. I can't believe you put that together. That is true. That is both why we started the show.
Yeah. But I think that if we put our heads together, there's people out there who deserve justice, too.
100%.
And I'm sure we say, like, their names all the time.
Yeah, so I just thought, like, I don't know if we're going to need it today, but I just think the gavels should constantly be within reach because they're an integral part of who we are, and we shouldn't be ashamed of where we came from.
I am not ashamed of where we came from whatsoever.
Speaking of things...
I just, like, they're a little loud, and so as long as you're not, like, banging it on the table, like, the gavels can stay.
No promises.
I want to get you, like, a little gavel thing, like, the thing.
Oh, yeah, I need, like, a matching mallard.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
It sounds right.
Speaking of things I'm not ashamed of... That segue is like a little delayed. Today we have an amazing guest on the show today. We're so excited. We were talking last week about a guest we were going to have. Unfortunately, she did have to postpone, but she came back. Lala Kent from Vanderpump Rules is here. We interviewed with her via Zoom. So if you're listening as a podcast, just keep listening. It'll be at the end of the episode. And we did record with her on Zoom. So if you want to watch on YouTube, that's available on our channel now. So check that out. I'm very excited.
So exciting.
Were you fangirling?
I was fangirling. Plus, I had just read her book. And so I just felt like so in tune with Lala. And also the show hasn't been on in so long that, you know, sometimes your faves come and go. Mm-hmm. But like Lala is someone for me who will always just be like top five favorite people on television.
Yeah, I feel like when we always, like if we get asked like who are ideal guests for your show, like in your top five of like Kelly Clarkson, Kim, Lala like sometimes makes it in there.
Yeah, like depending on the season and like what's on TV, you know? Yeah. So that's how strongly I feel about her. It was a pleasure to talk to her and see her doing so well. And she shared like some tea about the new season.
Yeah.
So it's a really...
She's an open book for sure.
She is an open book and she just wrote an open book.
100%.
But there's always more for her to give of Lala.
So that was really fun. Check that out. Also, The Bachelor was on last night. I did not watch. I was busy, you know. I'm in like my Olympic trial phase, so like I had to watch that.
You're so sporty. And you know who's not sporty? Other girls.
And I'm not like other girls. And honestly, I feel like I've been watching a lot of track and field and I feel so dumb. Do you know why it's called track and field?
No.
Okay, because like the track,
they run on the track.
Is the running part, and then in the middle of the
track
is the field. And that's where they do like shot put, javelin. So it's like track and field.
That seems pretty self-explanatory.
No, I just always thought like track and field was the running. But it's all the sports, the ones on the track and the ones on the field.
I'm sure if you thought about it longer, you would have gotten there.
I also just want to say, like, we have within our midst, like, an Olympic toaster, Emma Coburn. And I was watching last night the track and field. She didn't run. She ran on Sunday. And I'm pretty sure she like won the whole thing. She's like literally going to be like American Pride. And she's a toaster.
Yeah.
And like she's such a big deal in the running industry. Because like I was watching the runs last night. And like her husband's like a really big time.
You're watching the runs.
I had the runs last night. And her husband's like a really big time coach. And he coached all these girls who are like killing it. So it's like you love to see toaster energy just like radiating throughout the Olympic industry.
I think toaster energy and Olympic energy are actually quite similar.
They're like super patriotic, super like positive steamy vibes.
Cheering, excitement. Yeah.
I think like maybe we should make all the Olympians on the flight to Tokyo like listen to episodes of Morning Toast.
100%. Blasted through the planes.
Yeah, blasted. Oh, that's not a good word.
No, like
blasted through the planes.
Blair,
yeah, Blair.
Blair Waldorf through the planes.
We have a great show.
We do have a great show. I just wanted to give a little content update on my end because I've been reading, and last night I finished this book I was reading called The Second Season by Emily Adrian. It doesn't come out till July, thanks NetGalley. But I didn't love it. I think maybe if you're a big fan of basketball, you would like it more. It's like all about basketball. So
what?
Yeah, she's a sports reporter.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. So, but it was too much basketball for me.
Yeah. I have not read a book in like so long.
Well, last night I started Malibu Rising because I was just like, it's time to treat myself.
Yeah.
And Margot is reading it. Dana read it. So we're going to do a mini recap on the next Redheads episode.
Mm.
So if you want to start it, like we could talk about it too.
I know. That's just like a book I'm saving and I don't want to read it in my sad fucking one bedroom apartment. Like but I want to read it on the beach.
Let it transport you.
Like, I guess. There's actually a few things I, like, need to read. And I just am in a rut. Because, like, I started the new Lauren Weisberger book. Stunk. I started We Were Liars that, like, everyone on TikTok was, like, felling over. Stunk. So now I'm just, like, feeling like I can't win, you know? I know, yeah. I like Malibu Rising.
After I read Malibu Rising and then the Redheads book, The Nature of Fragile Things, which I've heard is amazing by Susan Meisner, episode drops next week, I'm making a pact to myself to, like, no longer read bad, stupid books. Like... Read the books that are like renowned, top of the list. Like, just read the good books.
Yeah, can I ask you a question?
Even if they take longer and they're harder, like, I want to get more out of it. There's nothing worse than like wasting your time on a stupid book.
What do you mean by stupid?
Like, I'm not, like, I'm cringing. The characters are not
American Royals.
Yeah, like, they're not, the characters are not inspiring. Like, I'm not learning anything. And I'm just like, it's as if I'm watching, like, the dumbest reality TV show.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I've been reading serious books, but then what starts to happen is like, if you don't like one of those and you're like, wow, I just want something light that I can breeze through.
I just feel like you don't have to swear off like a whole catalog. Like, just read what you feel like.
No, I'm not going to swear them off, but I'm going to make a concerted effort to like read better books. Okay. You know?
Hashtag do better.
Yeah, no, that's what's up for me.
So we have a great show. I think we should get into it because I want everyone to hear our Lala Kent interview. And I really don't have much else to share. I've just been like, you know, in the track and field.
Oh, okay. Well, then without further ado, where are you? Not here, as previously mentioned. It is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're a business owner who's hiring, you probably face a lot of challenges when it comes to finding the right person. Whether that's not finding enough applicants with the right skills or experience, there's too many resumes to sort through, but you need to hire ASAP, and you don't know where to post your job to reach the right people. That's why hiring can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to a board, but then all you can do is hope that the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/toast. So when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets down to over 100 top job sites in one click. Then ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. It's no wonder over 2.3 million businesses have come to ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs, including the Morning Toast. We can attest to the fabulousness of ZipRecruiter. So while other companies overwhelm you with way too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for, the needle in the haystack. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/toast. Again, the only way to get ZipRecruiter for free is ZipRecruiter.com/toast, T-O-A-S-T. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Love it. Okay, first story. A-Rod is partying with Ben Affleck's ex, Lindsay Shookus.
This is so lame.
This is so sad, you guys. A-Rod was spotted hanging out with Ben Affleck's ex, Lindsay Shookus, at her birthday party on Saturday, a video obtained by Page Six reveals. In the clip, the two are sitting right beside each other at an intimate backyard gathering. The timing of Shookus and A-Rod's hangout sparks interest, given that their respective exes, Affleck and J-Lo, rekindled romance.
Why can't you say Ben Affleck?
I guess I did say Affleck again.
Yeah.
Just something cute about
me. You're not like other girls. So quirky.
The timing of Shookus and A-Rod's hangout sparks interest, given that their respective exes, Affleck and J-Lo, rekindled romance continues to heat up. You threw a wrench into my reading.
Sorry. I just want to say, like, I went from having, like, being obsessed with A-Rod, mostly because of his relationship with J-Lo and, like, his, you know, being on Shark Tank. There was just, like, so much that I loved about him for the last few years. And in the last 6 months, I have lost every ounce of respect I have for him. First of all, like, the Madison LaCroix thing, like, don't fuck around on J-Lo. Respect, gone. Second, some of those photos that came out from his promo for his new male makeup company, like, sorry, they did make me laugh. They just looked weird. Two. Three, this. Like, this is so fucking losery. I can't. Oh, and, oh my God, I totally forgot. I was on TikTok yesterday. I'm obsessed with kids who are on TikTok whose parents are famous. It's like, it's my favorite kind of content to follow. And so I've followed a lot of people. And so the algorithm knows what to serve me. And I saw one of A-Rod's daughters and they did such an inappropriate dance. Like, I literally, the comments were like, it's not too late to delete this. Call your therapist. Like, it was really inappropriate. Like, so there's just a lot of things happening. Like, I do not fuck with A-Rod anymore. Like, I actually have zero respect for him.
Yeah, I agree. Usually when we like see like revenge exes getting together, like sometimes we're here for it, you know, like when Madison LaCroix and Jay Cutler were speaking, but just like when you're meant to be so A-list, like there's just things that you are above.
There's lines you don't cross.
And, but you did it.
Yeah. I just think this is so illusory. And I actually have so many thoughts about like J-Lo and A-Rod because that company, Hims, that was like his makeup for men company, also had a Hers. And it was J-Lo's company. It was like a hair product. And I just saw a commercial for it. So like they're still in business together.
Damn.
Hims and Hers or something.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, J-Lo seems to be living her absolute...
Sucks for A-Rod.
So, yeah, it's just, like, annoying to be, like, tethered to someone when you're so clearly moved on.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy.
How did these two even meet? Like, she's not really, like, a traditional celebrity. She's an SNL producer.
A rep for Page Six said that there's nothing romantic there, but... A-Rod said there's nothing romantic there, that they've been friends for 15 years.
What a fucking lie.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, what? Let me guess. They met on SNL 15 years ago when he... Like, that's just not it.
I mean, that could have happened.
No.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm sorry, it doesn't.
I agree.
This is so losery. Like, we keep reporting on stories, and this is, like, the segment, like, let's lose more respect for A-Rod. Like, he's such a loser now, and I thought he was, like, so cool, and I loved him with J-Lo. It's just so crazy how your opinion of someone can change so drastically so quickly.
Yeah. It's really crazy.
Now, like, when I see a story about him, I'm getting close to, like, fully China-ing him. Like,
yeah.
I think he's such, like, a media, like, weasel. Like, I'm really done with him.
No, I totally agree and understand.
Thank you so much for being understanding at this time.
You're welcome. Are you ready for our next story? Which is a little streaming news that's really going to shake up the industry. Hmm. Netflix and Steven Spielberg have struck a surprising production deal. In a jaws-dropping turn of events, filmmaker Steven Spielberg has struck a multi-year deal to supply movies for Netflix. Spielberg's Amblin Partners and Netflix announced an agreement in which the studio will make multiple new films for the streaming giant over the course of the agreement. The Netflix deal has no restrictions regarding budget or genre, insiders told The Hollywood Reporter. And this partnership does not impact his relationship with Comcast Corp's Universal Pictures. This is a surprising deal because he sort of has publicly slammed, you know, these streaming services. In a few years, he said that Netflix, like, movies shouldn't be contenders at the Oscars.
Oh, I guess they still shouldn't then. I think that's for the best. Take your own advice, Steven.
Also, financial terms of the deal were not disclosed.
Well, so let's use, like, a point of reference. How many movies is it?
Like a couple? It's a multi-year deal.
Because, like, Adam Sandler, I think, was contracted Netflix to do, like, 5 movies, and he got paid, like, $300 million. And I think Steven Spielberg would get paid more than Adam Sandler.
Yeah. No, I'm sure the money was right.
Yeah. So it's nice to know that even Steven Spielberg, like, can be bought.
Yeah.
You know, because I never thought I had much in common with Steven Spielberg, but here we are.
Here we are.
The thing is that I feel like, you know, a lot of people will be excited about this. Like, personally, I like to watch, like, bad movies. Like, I don't think I've ever even seen a Steven Spielberg movie. Like, I've never seen Jaws. What else?
E.T.?
Schindler's List. That one was good. Oh, sorry. I take it back.
Hold on. Let me go to Steven Spielberg.
Schindler's List is an incredible film.
So amazing. Hold on. Let me.
Oh, also, I saw a story today that I meant to send to you. Are we talking about Adrian Brody?
No, but what do you want to? Oh, no. Why? What do you want to say?
Adrian Brody was spotted out, or he's dating. I can't remember who it was, but it was really shocking. Give me
one
second.
Oh, my God. So he's not dating Georgina Chapman.
Oh, that's who it was.
Oh, he's been dating her.
Has he?
Yeah, we've spoken about this.
No, we haven't. Because they were at Tribeca Film Festival. They walked the carpet together, and I was shook.
They have been dating, like, since our last studio.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I think that's honestly an amazing couple. Like, you know what? Justice for Georgina Chapman. Like, she has been through a lot. And Adrian Brody is a stand-up guy, I think. I did sit next to him at a dinner party once. That's, like, my favorite story.
Yeah. No, they've been dating for a while. I'm glad to see it's going well. Are you ready for the movies that have been directed by Steven Spielberg?
Yes.
Ready Player One. Never saw it, but I see it everywhere. The Post. Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one either.
Bridge of Spies. Missed that one, too. BFG.
No, must have missed it.
Lincoln, saw it, fell asleep 3 separate times.
By the way.
The nerve.
We are still waiting on an apology from Steven Spielberg for subjecting us to that trash movie. It was so bad. We all fell asleep.
Yeah.
Me, you, and Margo conked the fuck out for the whole movie.
Tintin, never saw it. Never heard of it. War Horse.
Must have missed it.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
The Terminal.
Mm-mm.
Indiana Jones.
Heard of it.
Munich, never saw it, but should see it.
Good story, I think.
Well, a bad story.
Well, yeah, like
a story that you should know.
Thank you.
Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, so good. Leo's best work.
Minority Report.
Never heard of it.
Artificial Intelligence.
Sounds good.
Saving Private Ryan.
Heard of it. Never seen it.
Yeah, I've heard it's good. Amistad. Never seen it.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, this is great. I don't know if I'll be personally impacted because I don't really flock towards Steven Spielberg's movie. Like, I'm not that person. It's like, gotta go see the new Spielberg film, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe that's something that comes with age.
100%. Because, you know, I'm really, who's the guy who did Midnight in Paris?
Woody Allen.
Oh, sorry. Ew. Never mind.
Right?
No. You're 100% right. No, that's not him. Oh, I'm thinking of Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
He did The Irishman.
Yes, and he did our favorite movie, Shutter Island.
Did he?
Right?
I don't know. Ugh. By the way, Shutter Island is the movie that started it all here at the Morning Toast.
Yes, we have Shutter Island to thank for everything. Yes, Martin Scorsese.
So I feel like I'm more of a Scorsese kind of girl than a Spielberg kind of gal. But I don't know. Maybe I'll just start maturing and flock towards Spielberg. But I'm happy for all the people who, like, you know, the cinephiles who are excited about this Spielberg Netflix deal. I'm just personally probably not going to see any of them.
Here are some Scorsese movies. He definitely has some that you've never seen.
Unless Steven Spielberg is directing the new season of Love is Blind, I probably am not going to see it.
Unless Steven Spielberg will be responsible for reviving this society, which, by the way, I think is Spielberg level.
Jackie, I completely agree. And that should be part of his deal. I wish Steven Spielberg had like a granddaughter who listened to the toast.
Who's like, Pops, please.
It's such a good idea. And honestly, like, he could make it brilliant. 100%. But he would never do TV.
100%. Well, it's not TV. It's like series. I could see him doing a series.
Like, yeah, like a mini series, like a Queen's Gambit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to talk about Martin Scorsese? You want to move on?
Sure.
Because other movies that are Martin Scorsese.
Or as Lala Ken calls him, Marty.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Seen it.
Aviator.
No.
Oh, you never saw that one? It was good. The Departed. I never saw it, but I've heard good things. Casino. I think I've seen that.
Yes, of course I've seen that one. Robert De Niro.
But there's also a lot of others that we haven't seen. So
yeah, I just think I'm more of a Scorsese kind of girl.
Okay, cool.
And by the way, that's Italian, Scorsese.
Thank you for the pronunciation.
You're welcome.
Are you ready for our next story?
Sure. Oh, no, I'm not.
You're not.
Because I'm feeling very tired, weak.
Uh-oh, I think she needs some Liquid IV to revive her.
How did you know? Today's episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. The Hydration Multiplier Plus Immune Support is a cutting-edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single-serve packets to help strengthen your immune system. Vitamin C is well-known to help protect your body and support good health. Zinc, the second most abundant trace mineral in your body, supports immune cell health and function. The blend is powered by CTT, cellular transport technology, which is designed to enhance rapid absorption of water and other nutrients. The optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivers water and key nutrients into the bloodstream faster. So if you have trouble drinking water, which I do, it's just like not something I'm particularly good at, Liquid IV can just really help you out because you get 2 to 3 times more hydrated from a bottle of water that has Liquid IV. So it makes it easier for you to drink water. It tastes really, really good. And it just helps you out throughout the day, like not feel fatigued. If I don't drink a lot of water, I get like migraines. So there's just a lot of really good benefits to Liquid IV. Also, little trick of the trade, if you're hungover, a Liquid IV can truly save a life. Mm-hmm. Get your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier plus immune support in bulk at Costco, or you can order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the promo code TOAST at checkout. When you purchase Liquid IV, you're joining the mission to help people live better everywhere, because with every purchase, they are donating a serving of Liquid IV to someone in need. So again, that's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com.
Love it. Thank you for that, Claudia.
You are so welcome. I'm feeling so much better.
I now feel as though we are ready.
Me too.
T-Pain says that Usher's comments about autotune made him depressed for 4 years.
Oh my God. I feel like if I've learned anything in the last couple years, T-Pain is a P-Jom.
Mm-hmm.
He should change his name to T-Jom.
Have you seen this story?
No.
T-Pain says he fell into a 4-year-long depression after Usher told him that his use of autotune wrecked the music industry. The rapper makes the stunning revelation on the upcoming Netflix series, This Is Pop, saying the statement from his famous friend caused him deep pain. He said, Usher was my friend. I really respect Usher. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, man. You kind of fucked up music. And then he was like, yeah, man, you really fucked up music for real singers. I was like, what did I do? I came out and I used autotune.
God. I'm literally going to cry.
No, this is so upsetting. He was like, yeah, you fucked it up. Jackie. I'm like, but I used it. I didn't tell everybody else to start using it.
Is this what you said you wanted to get justice for when you said earlier in the show? Because justice for T-Pain.
Yes.
This is so mean and disgraceful. I'm like, okay, Usher, like, not cool.
Not cool.
Oh.
And also, when I think of autotune, I mean, of course, T-Pain's music uses autotune, but I wouldn't say that he ruined the music industry.
First of all, I wouldn't say that. Second, I wouldn't really say T-Pain uses autotune. He kind of uses like a megaphone. It's like it's just an effect. Autotune takes a bad voice and makes it a good voice. Whereas I think as T-Pain put like a different spin, it's like.
No, but also like, I think the issue with autotune is when people use it and they're trying to hide the fact that they're using it, and they're setting this like unrealistic standard of what things sound like.
Yeah.
But that was never what T-Pain was doing. Like, the sound was autotune.
And I just want to say, like, that's the T-Pain music of, like, the early 2000s fucking slaps. And a lot of people, like, copied that method. Like, in a lot of popular songs, like, you hear people masking their voice with, like, a robot type. And I think it's cool. Well,
Usher would say that ruined music.
No, it created a new genre.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone was blessed with, you know, the vocal glands of an angel, Usher. Some of us have to work hard for it. I think this is so rude and, like, like elitist. Like, okay, good for you and your perfect voice. Like, some of us are trying to make it out here and we don't have like the God-given talents.
Some of us have to get creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about this at all.
But
even though people did say I used too much auto-tune on my
song. And how did that make you feel?
Where's the lie, you know?
Yeah, it's like Facetune.
It's like Facetune, and honestly, like, what, you want the song to sound worse just because I'm too proud to use auto-tune?
No.
And I do have a good voice, like, I have nothing to hide.
I totally agree.
Hunt it down, we gonna have a good time. Yeah. That was good.
Tell him.
1,000 hands up to this guy. Stream Toast, available on Spotify and all music streaming platforms.
Netflix's show This Is Pop is an 8-part series exploring untold stories from some of the most notable moments in pop music history.
That sounds good.
Yeah, the series also features interviews with ABBA's Benny Anderson, Shania Twain, Brandi Carlile, Chuck D, Babyface, Orville Peck, members of Boyz II Men, and the Backstreet Boys. The series will be released in full on June 22nd. Well, would you look
at that? That's any day now.
It's today.
Oh, how exciting. That actually does sound really good. Sounds like a VH1 type of show, like The Fabulous Life of, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very excited about this. I think that I'm constantly looking for new content, and I'll probably be watching this.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Backstreet Boys, I watched like a podcast interview that AJ McLean did, and it was really inspiring. You know, he's sober since 2001 or something.
Yes, we do. You knew that too.
Yes, I knew that too. But do you know how and why he got sober?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were out somewhere throwing out the pitch at an MLB game, and he like partied the whole night before. He said he was going through an ounce of cocaine a night and like a half a bottle of Jack Daniels a night, and he woke up to do the MLB thing. He was like, I just don't want to go. And Kevin from the Backstreet Boys, who's not Kevin Federline, right?
Nope.
Okay. He barged in and like broke down the door and like literally screamed and like said like really like hard truths to AJ McLean, and he was like, you're dead to me. And AJ McLean flew to Phoenix and got into rehab and has been sober ever since.
Wow.
And I think that's why the Backstreet Boys are still together. Like, they're truly a band of brothers.
And they're there for each other.
Literally, even in, you know, when it's not easy.
Wow. And even little me, like, knew that Kevin was, you know, such a great guy.
Well, little me thought Kevin from Backstreet Boys legitimately was Kevin Federline up until a year ago.
Yeah. Also, little you was like on the fence about the whole debate, as you always are.
Don't spoil anything. I detail it all in my New York Times bestselling book, Claudia Ashray, Girl With No Job. That's not the name of the book. Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster, available literally anywhere. It's a New York Times bestseller. Don't come for me.
Thank you for that. And also, interesting story about AJ McLean. What podcast was it?
I don't know. It just came up on TikTok. So, like, It was just really, I think it was ET Canada, not a podcast, but he was like sitting in front of a podcast mic. It was just really inspiring.
So am I.
No, it was like a podcast mic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know a podcast mic. You're a podcaster.
Yeah, like this one.
Yeah,
like stunning. Big and dramatic.
By the way, I have been meaning to say this on the show for weeks. When you were somewhere and I had like friends and family week, Ben sat next to me, and after the show, he's like, I don't know how you sit in front of these mics, because they say right here, Heil. And I'm like, what? And he's right. Can you see it on this side?
Yeah. No, I have one right here.
H-E-I-L. I guess the name of this company is Heil, which is just like not a great name for two Jewish podcasters, but it is what it is. And I literally never noticed it until Ben pointed it out.
That's really funny.
It was so funny.
Wow. Okay. Are you ready for our next story? A little more content news. Today's just like a day of content, but this is an interesting one.
Sure.
The downfall of Hillsong Church will be explored in a new Discovery Plus docuseries.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Called Breaking Hillsong.
Ooh, that's salacious.
Chills.
I mean, even before the documentary, I have so many questions about what went on in Hillsong. Like, Justin, Selena, Haley, so many celebrities.
Morning Breath, like, what happened?
Morning Breath. But also, I actually know a few people who belong to the church, and they love it. Like, they're not, like, cult. Like, they go to church, and that's the church they go to, and they love it. They say it's, like, really amazing. So I'm just curious, like, where it all went wrong.
Yeah, but I also, I mean, I haven't really followed, and I'm sure Breaking Hillsong will explain, but it always kind of seemed like this church is a mega church. There's so many members, but there was also this celebrity arm that did, like, the marketing and the PR, and I think that arm, like, started to fall apart.
And I think it took the whole thing down.
Really? You don't think that the congregation is intact?
Oh, I don't know. It's Breaking Hillsong makes it seem like it's over.
Okay, well, Hillsong's church high-profile challenges will soon play out on the small screen. Discovery Plus on Monday announced a 3-part documentary expose called Breaking Hillsong, which will stream on the service as a limited series. The project will chronicle the headline-making world of global star-studded megachurch Hillsong and the downfall of its ultra-hip celebrity senior pastor, Carl Lentz,
who was once a guest on this show.
This series will feature exclusive interviews with people like Ranin Karim, who claimed she had a five-month affair with Lentz, and profiles of current and former members of the church who have come forward en masse to share harrowing stories of the trauma, abuse, financial and labor exploitation, homophobia, and racism that created a culture of chaos at Hillsong, according to the release.
Oh, man. I mean, this is actually like a good subject for a documentary. I feel like recently we've been getting like the documentaries nobody asked for. Like, you know, there's no real drama. Like when we were just watching that WeWork one, it was like they were just trying so hard to like make drama. And like, yeah. It wasn't that crazy.
No, it really wasn't.
But I actually feel like this will uncover a lot. And I think this is great for the streaming wars, Discovery Plus.
I've been telling you guys, Discovery Plus has got their shit together.
I mean, for someone who's so passionate about it, you didn't give me your password when I asked repeatedly, so I never got to experience it.
That doesn't sound like me.
No, it actually is you.
Maybe it was another girl.
It's you, but you're not like other girls. So it was you.
But I don't even know where it would start to know what my password is. I don't even know what email address. Email address.
You didn't even like try and like... Give me like,
that seems like so much effort. You know what? If you want a Discovery Plus, like support.
Why should we be paying for multiple
support services? Your streamers.
I just did subscribe to Paramount Plus. I'm kind of over it now.
That's what happens. I read a study. It was like so scientific.
You are constantly reading studies.
That the average. So with the streaming wars, it's like how many services will people subscribe for? Average what people are doing is 7.
Wow. But I feel like, and I don't think I'm the only one who does this, like I pay for Paramount Plus and then I use like a family Netflix, like I, Olivia's Disney Plus. Okay, so you Disney game Plus. The system,
but I would say I'm sure that I feel
like most people do that with their family.
I'm sure, but still like how many of the platforms are you even interested in going to find a way to get? So I think 7, including like the way that you steal other people's passwords, you probably use 7 of them.
Yeah, the only one I really haven't downloaded or tried was Discovery Plus.
But and this you're missing
might be
out.
No, this might be the thing to get me there.
Yeah. You are really missing out. Discovery Plus has like the most soothing content. Well, aside from this, but
these days when you open your Apple TV and you like just you don't know what you're gonna watch, you're gonna look for something, where do you go?
I really try to avoid that. Like, I always turn my TV on with purpose. I'm like,
oh my God, you are so annoying. Just answer the question.
No. Like, I literally don't even do that anymore.
That's
like,
crazy.
I always know what I'm going to watch next because my content plate is so full.
Okay, so, all right, let me ask a different question. Okay. For all the streaming services that have come out in the last couple of years, what is your favorite one?
Ooh, I mean.
Like, as of now. It can change, but mine's HBO Max.
Oh, I don't really.
The Big Shot was on there. Friends is on there. I loved Hacks. All Sex and the City that I rewatched recently was on there. Netflix is actually like literally my least favorite platform.
I don't know if I can give you an answer because I just like know what I'm going to watch. I search it and I hope that where it is, I already subscribe.
Okay.
I'm so sorry for the disappointing answer.
I mean, like literally the biggest disappointment of all time.
I'm so sorry. I'll think about it harder. I'll have an answer for you next time.
Well, when does this documentary come out? Because I'm definitely going to be keeping up with the lenses.
The documentary comes out. It doesn't say.
Cool. So cool. Maybe we'll it like just got started.
We'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you abreast.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Is it the fifth and final story that's brought to you by The Zebra?
Yes.
Think about all the purchases you made in quarantine. Those late night pizza deliveries, the mini succulents. There's one of your biggest purchases of the year. Insurance. Americans overspend on car and home insurance by the billions every year. And that's money that could have been spent on more retail therapy. And that's where The Zebra comes in. The Zebra is the nation's leading insurance comparison site for car and home insurance. In minutes, you can compare policies from every major provider for free, all in one independent marketplace. After a few questions, The Zebra pairs people with the right insurance company for them, helping everyone save time and money. Buy online or over the phone with one of their licensed insurance agents. There are no hidden fees or fine print about your personal information. Best of all, The Zebra has no stake in the policy you choose. They're just there to help you find the right coverage. Make insurance your smartest purchase yet. Visit thezebra.com/toast to get your free quote today. That's thezebra.com/toast. Again, thezebra.com/TOAST.
Thank you for letting us know that The Zebra is sponsoring
constantly.
The final story.
I've been getting a lot of complaints about that.
What? Yeah. I've gotten so much love.
Where do we go from here?
I think we have to.
People are like, I'm 50%, cringing.
Say 50% don't like it and 50% love it. We just have to decide how we feel about it.
Okay. That's real. I'm so glad you brought that up. Because, like, some days I'm really into it and some days I'm not.
Oh, I think...
Are you into it every day?
Yes, like, because once we get into it, like, it gives the boost of serotonin that we need.
I'm sorry. You didn't make it a story, Chloe and Tristan.
Because I didn't want to offend you.
Well, no, because you didn't want me to say I was right. No,
I didn't want you to fall asleep on the couch saying how exhausted you are.
I am. We need to talk about it.
Okay, please talk
about
it.
Pull up a story.
Okay, I mean, here's...
They officially called it quits,
period.
More cheating allegations. Tana Mojo is involved.
One Tristan, three girls in a room.
Let me read.
First one at the party.
Yeah, Tana Mojo tweeted something about her birthday party over the weekend.
I just want to let you know, I didn't choose it because I was scared of your reaction.
No, because now I feel even more...
Justified
in me wanting to cancel them.
Okay.
All I know to tweet about my birthday party last night is that Tristan Thompson was one of the first attendees. Like, babe, where's True? And someone responded to it in, like, a mean way, and Chloe liked it. Some person responded, shut the fuck up. This screams attention-seeking at its finest because you know damn well that that man is going to make headlines over anything pertaining to women. You're a bird. Don't speak on True either, weird ass hoe. And Chloe liked that tweet. Then, literally...
Okay, because I just want to say, like, him being on time for a party, like, doesn't say anything about anything.
No. But then the Daily Mail, like, had this story and pictures of Chloe, of him at, I think, this same party.
Entering a room.
With three girls coming out looking all disheveled. Maybe they were, you know, cleaning, but I have other ideas.
Maybe they were doing TikTok dances.
Yeah, and that does make one look quite disheveled.
Yeah, it's exhausting. But then it seems Chloe broke up with him, so maybe she knows something for sure that we...
Yeah, so they released a statement, and honestly, like, I feel justified in my feelings from before. Like, of course, we have to report on it, and it is exhausting to keep up with these two, especially after we just, like, saw this Keeping Up with the Kardashians reunion. These two are a circus.
You're so mean to them.
Am I? Look what they constantly put us through. No, you know what? Not even them. Because I can't even blame Chloe, but, like, girl, like, how many times are we going to take someone back before they learn?
I don't know. I feel like we were, like... From the way that we saw it, we all understood why she took him back.
No, and I feel like this last season of Kardashians was really like a PR machine for Tristan because we were all like, oh my God, he's so cute. He's trying so hard.
Like,
we could
all leave the past in the past. But that is just so crazy that he would go and do that again. I'm sure Chloe is
beside herself.
And done with him, period.
So is this the third time? Or fourth if you count the girl from the No Jumper podcast?
Fourth if you count her... I don't know if I'm counting
She posted
her.
Like a cryptic message, you know?
Of course she did.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that, but it's three, maybe four.
Yeah, but that we know of.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely more than that.
Got it. I can't believe you didn't choose that. Like, well, you're looking out for me. Like,
no,
I'm
when
so
I
honored.
Heard the news yesterday, I think Zach told me, I was like, okay, cool. Like, we're not talking about it.
No, okay, cool. It's just like irrelevant at this point. Like, it's one of those things you hear about so much about someone, like you just don't care anymore. Yeah. You lose interest.
Yeah, you really do. We're fatigued.
But the real reason I brought this out today.
Justice for you.
Justice for me. Like and justice for everyone who's tired of being tired.
And I tried to give you justice, like, in the form of
not talking about it, but like
you.
We are the millennial like pop culture morning show, and that's literally the only thing that happened yesterday.
For sure. So the headline, they broke up. It's done. I think it's actually done this time.
I hope so.
Yeah, I've moved on.
Yeah, and I think maybe like Chloe needs to start dating different types of people, like maybe someone who's not famous or
no,
who's not
I totally
an
agree. Like that episode where MJ and Chris, like
that guy from Dick's Sporting Goods,
yeah, they go like looking for cute guys for Chloe, and they found so many who would have been like, she really should try going out with someone
not famous, regular job. Like that guy from Dick's Sporting Goods was low key hot, and he was a trainer. And Chloe's always looking for new trainers.
Yeah, and like MJ said, she needs an accountant.
Yeah. MJ knows what's up. She needs a businessman beau.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, now it's time for the final story. It's the final
Take it away.
Story. Do 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 do. Do-do-do.
You're so off.
Where? I'm
No, you took
I'm
like a
riffing.
Breath and you
No, I know.
Okay.
But I was still on the eight count.
Okay, yeah.
But
go.
Are you going to yell at me? You can't rush art. You can't rush art.
Okay.
No, now I don't feel safe.
Go.
No, it's fine. Forget it. It's the fucking final
story, go,
okay?
Go.
Okay?
No, do it.
Nobody wants to hear me saying.
Yes, they do. Oh, don't say that. Suddenly she's shy.
Okay, no, ready? I'm not good
Come
enough.
On. Come on.
Stop with the beats, okay? Do 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 do
Stunning.
Thank you. Okay, well, the fifth and final story is a little science news because scientists say that they found a solution for the hiccups.
Ugh, enough with these scientists. Why don't you give us real solutions, you know?
I don't know.
How to lose weight without doing anything. Like, that is some valuable science.
Honestly, I consider this valuable science. And maybe if you suffered from the hiccups, you would know what it's like to value this piece of science.
But I don't. No, I've gotten hiccups. Like, it's definitely annoying. It's not like a, you know, life urgent, like...
No, it's like the most annoying thing to have hiccups.
But like, which scientists? Like, what else should these scientists be working on? No, I feel like there's more pressing issues.
I can think of a number of things that they should be working on, but instead, they've they've invented a straw that apparently cures the hiccups.
Okay, wait. Let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. Straw?
It's a straw.
Is it metal?
Oh, unclear.
Because...
It looks like it might be of the
rubber. Adrian Brody... No. Adrian Grenier...
Yeah.
...did not put his neck on the line... Just for scientists to invent a new kind of
straw. No, it's definitely
not.
It's not disposable. Like, it's something that you would use
multiple times.
Okay. So here's the thinking. When you get hiccups, the diaphragm and the intercostal muscles suddenly contract. The subsequent abrupt intake of air causes the opening between the vocal folds, known as the glottis, to shut, resulting in a hic sound, often to the embarrassment of the afflicted and the amusement of others.
Who wrote this article?
The Guardian. But while home remedies abound, a team of scientists say they have come up with a new answer. Called the Forced Inspiratory Suction and Swallow Tool, the FISST, and patented as Hickaway. It's $14, it's a plastic device, and it's a rigid L-shaped straw that has a mouthpiece at one end and an adjustable cap with the pressure valve in the form of a small hole at the other. Hiccuping people place the device into a glass of water and use it to sip.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm getting one.
No, I mean, like, it's good.
It's not an ad.
I just feel like the scientists should kind of be, like, refocusing on more, you know, important issues. Like, there's so much wrong in the world. You know, medical, scientific, climate. Like, there's all these things. And, like, these guys are like, we made a straw, you know?
No. I think these are small wins. Like, you were just at dinner with the snatcher the other night and she had the hiccups.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, it was so funny. I never laughed so hard in my life. So, like, why would the scientists want to take that away from us?
No, I think the scientists,
cracking up,
the scientists, like, are protecting those who have, like, there's, okay, for the first few, they're funny, but then they are so annoying.
They are.
They're so annoying, and they hurt.
You know, I'm just being negative. Like, great, this is awesome, but, like, it took us until 2021 to solve the hiccups.
I mean, some people think they have the solution, and this isn't, you know, 100%, but I will be trying it.
Yeah, honestly, all these, like, you know, drink water upside down, someone has to scare you, hold your breath for 8 seconds, none of that shit works. Like, they just go away.
No, you just have to, like, go to sleep.
Yeah, no, like, you just have to... Like, stop.
No, yeah.
No, because then, like, they go away, and you're like, oh, my God, it worked. You scared me. No, it was just, like, the time was up for the hiccups. You know?
Yeah.
So those are the Fast Five stories. Feel as though you definitely needed to know them.
You definitely, definitely did.
And I learned a lot. Like, Adrian Brody and Georgina Chapman are dating. Like, I can't get over
and
that.
And they've been dating.
For years. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anything else you want to say before we wrap up our show?
No, I mean, enjoy our interview with Lala. It was such a fun one to record.
A pleasure.
We will see you tomorrow for hump day. And I think Dew will be here.
He will.
I really do.
And we've got Dear Toasters tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be a very exciting day. Thank you so much for spending your morning with us.
And I think one of the Real Housewives is on tonight, right?
Oh yeah. I want to say New York. Beverly Hills, whatever it is, we'll be watching it. Thank you so much for listening to the it's New York.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So at Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Goodbye. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. We have such an exciting guest of honor today. We are joined by Lala Kent, who perhaps has had the busiest, most productive year of any of us.
Yeah.
She had a baby. She wrote a book. She started a baby line. Now you're back filming Vanderpump Rules. Hi, Lala. How are you?
Hi, my loves. I'm so good. How are you?
We're so good. Excited to give them Lala. Before we dive in, can we get a definition? What does that entail, giving Lala?
Well, so originally Give Them Lala, when I exited the show season 5 and people were, you know, sending me messages being like, why did you leave? And so I was like, give the people what they want, give them Lala. So it came from a very, like, egotistical place. As I got older, and I like to say as I matured and evolved, it became something where it was more of like, just be who you are and give them who you are and do it unapologetically. So it took on a whole different meaning.
Definitely. Well, we just had a chance to read your book, Give Them Lala, which wherein you do give us a lot of Lala and a lot of Lauren. And I felt like the book was so heartwarming, first of all. So congratulations on writing a really wonderful memoir. It's so nice to hear, like, as some two people who are such big fans of yours, it's so nice to see every different side of you. And we've loved you at your, you know, Your Man Made Out With My Friend. We've loved you through it all. But to see you at this place in your life, you must feel such peace right now.
I really do. And the reason I decided to write the book was, it wasn't because I thought that my story was just so interesting that it had to be told. It was obviously, that was a part of it because you want people to be entertained when they're reading your book. But it was really just me wanting to purge a lot. And, you know, when you enter reality TV and you only see, you know, an hour episode for however many weeks, it doesn't always make sense why someone is the way they have turned out to be. Like, what did they go through in their little lifetime that made them like want to clap back?
Yeah.
So for me, it was like getting rid of the scarlet letter on my chest when it came to how my fiance and I came to be, and really just why I kind of react the way that I do. And I was hoping that that would be relatable for people and for people to feel less alone and less hard on themselves.
Yeah, no, that definitely comes through. Does it feel like this weight has been lifted off your shoulders now that you've shared your story? I think it was like on the last page where you said, you know, this book is meant to like answer your questions and that is it. Like, here's are your answers and you can refer to the book. So is it nice to have that weight off of you?
It's so nice. And strangely, going into this season of Vanderpump Rules, I've actually felt so different about things, where before it was like I would think about every single move that I was making and then beat myself up for things. And once, you know, I wrote this book and kind of told my story, this year going into filming and kind of just my day-to-day life, it's like, I don't need to explain this to you. Like, things happen. Life isn't perfect. I don't really need to explain why this, that, and the other happened. It's probably going to happen again. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And don't you think that's also just kind of like a growth part of becoming a mom now? It's like, you don't sweat so much of the small stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to say that I don't care about these little things that may happen in life, because I definitely am a human being and I'm affected. You know, when I'm clapping back at someone, I definitely don't go home and say, oh, I'm so glad I said that. I'm going to sleep great tonight. You know, yeah. So I'm still affected. But as long as when I come home, it's like I have this little healthy human being and the rest of the stuff will work itself out.
Yeah, it puts everything in perspective, I imagine. I don't have a child, but...
Yeah. How has it been filming this season? Now everyone, all the Vander babies are running around. Has that really changed what we can expect from the show this season?
You know, I want to say that it will, but kind of not.
Good.
We're still just as, like, crazy. And I, at the beginning, before we started filming, people would ask after the show got picked up, what can we expect from this season of Vanderpump? And, you know, I really didn't know, because the dynamics are different. You know, we've lost a part of the show, which, you know, just because our friends were let go from the show, we're still very much involved. Those, just because they're not on a show doesn't mean they're not in our day-to-day right. lives. So, and those people that were let go, they weren't just like little flimsy cast members. Those people brought it every episode. So that I was worried about. And then obviously becoming a mom, I'm like, am I just going to sob every episode? Which I probably do. But it's in the state of California, you can only film a baby of my baby's age and Sheena's baby's age for 20 minutes. And then they've got to go bye-bye.
Oh.
And if there's not a teacher... I know. I'm like, what are they learning? I don't understand. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't even know what's going on, but they have to have a teacher and also a nurse on location. So if those people are not available, then the babies can't make an appearance at all. So I don't know how much you'll really see of Ocean and Summer.
Oh, that's so interesting. Is it like weird? Because like Jackie said, we were actually just talking about this earlier. Like people who had babies in quarantine, like really made the most of this year. Like it wasn't a waste of a year for you. Like you literally became a mom, you started a family, and you go from, you know, spending every waking moment with your child to then having to go back to work and filming. And did you struggle with that at all?
Oh yeah, I still struggle with it. There are days where my schedule is jam packed and excuse me, with, you know, filming or whatever little things that I need to get done during the day. And then there are days that are, you know, a little bit more relaxed that I can spend every waking moment with her. But the days that we have to leave for an entire day, it's definitely difficult. But I have had the luxury of, I've had a night nurse, so I get to kind of pass her off and get a good night's sleep. And during the day I have someone come in to watch her, which, you know, is again a luxury. But I'm very envious of Sheena, who gets to leave her baby with her mama.
Oh yeah, that's nice. So nice.
Yeah, it is nice. So it's definitely a struggle leaving your kid behind, but every person who has to be a working mom has to do it. So it is what it is.
Yeah. You also launched Give Them Lala Baby, which is so exciting and so cute. What made you want to start that?
My best friend from back home in Utah, our moms had been friends since junior high, and then we were born a year apart. So she had reached out and said, I really want to start a baby line. She already has one. And she said, I want to do another one with you. And I was like, well, I don't have kids, so it wouldn't make much sense. And then when I found out I was pregnant and we knew the ocean was healthy and happy, I was like, let's start it. And I want to launch like not long after she arrives onto this planet. So that was kind of what was behind it. And also, it's so fun to play dress up with babies. I was like, why not be able to dress her up in my own stuff?
Totally. And do you share bottles with the baby?
I do not, because she's not on formula. She's on the boob. But when she does have a bubba, I'm like, this is liquid gold. I can't take this from her.
I feel like you were foreshadowing, you know, in those scenes, what was to come for you. And it was really beautiful.
I love that you say that. I think people watch that scene, they're like, this bitch needs massive amounts of therapy to understand why she sucks on a bottle. But no, I actually, can I tell you, once I gave up alcohol, my anxiety dropped so much.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So yeah, like the bubba was not even needed much anymore. So now just the baby has the bottle.
Yeah, I think that's actually been one of my favorite parts about watching your journey on the show, because you've always been like so fun and so real, and you know, your man made out with my friend catchphrases. But then I feel like we saw a really earnest side to you. And I think the way you spoke about getting sober and how you really wanted to, you know, bring James on that journey with you, it was just like a totally different side of you. And I'm curious if your experience filming has been easier or harder, because it is a show like about drinking, like, well, not about drinking, but about friends who drink. And I'm curious if it's been made more difficult or easier for you, because I can imagine how many, you know, panic attacks you have when you drink on television and then wake up the next morning. What did I say? What did I do?
Oh, I love that you said that, because that's exactly what would happen when I was drinking. It was like, okay, well, that made for great television, but now I have to deal with these feelings the next morning of, why did I say that? Did I say it in the way that I remember? And now I can go and I always thought once I gave up alcohol, I was very worried. I even talked to producers, like, I don't even know that I'll be interesting anymore for you guys. And I guess the crazy's just in my veins, because I still was popping off just as much without the alcohol. But now I can go home and kind of, you know, leave that part behind and know this is exactly what happened and how it happened. There's nothing I can do about it, and we got to move on. So that part, the anxiety of, oh my God, what did I do and say, is definitely not as heavy.
That's delightful.
Yeah.
Because I get that, and I don't even film a TV show. I just, like, yell at everyone.
I love that. You're my type of bitch then.
Yeah.
Just walk around yelling at everybody. Yeah. And the best part about it is when I get, like, a call time in the morning, I know, like, I can arrive and, you know where I am in that moment. Yeah. Before, it was like, wake up, hit the bottle again, because how do you cure a hangover? You have, like, a lot of hair up the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think there's like this feeling amongst the fans of the show that there's like a little bit of concern about the upcoming season because we've lost so many cast members. Then there was COVID. You guys weren't filming. People are like, is the show even coming back? So tell us, can you calm our nerves a little bit?
About what to, like, if it's going to be good?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions floating around. People thought the show was even going to be canceled.
No, I know. And we were kind of in that same boat with you guys. We also were sitting here. I think that we found out we were being picked up like maybe the day before it was actually released to the public that we were being picked up. We're kind of in, we're so in the dark. So I was also worried. I'm like, can we even make a good television show? And, you know, day one, it was like, oh my gosh, we can still make a great television show. It's we're back to the roots of Vanderpump Rules. I think season eight, everything got a little bit muddy. It was like, who are these random people that we're supposed to be invested in? You know, and I'll probably be killed for saying this, but I'm going to say it. I was very uninterested in last season. You know, like yeah, it was hard for me to get through an episode. I'm like, who is this person that's dating so-and-so? Don't care. Like, what's happening with Witches of WeHo?
Right.
What's going on with Jax and Tom Sandoval? I want to know. And this year it's very different. Like I said, we're back to the roots of the show and it's deep rooted issues that people have. And it's been crazy. It really has.
Love to hear that.
Crazy. I show up to filming and I'm like, I was not expecting any of this to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like your evolution on the show is like, you've really just come such a long way. And I could really, really see you. And I've said this a million times. I could really see you like not that far down the road becoming a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. I just feel like that's kind of like the space you're in your life now. And like, you are a housewife. You do live in LA. Like, I feel like it's not that far off. Is that something you would ever do?
I definitely would do. Of course. Who wouldn't want to become a housewife? I mean, it's a completely different level. But I think right now I'm still a little bit too young for the space. You know, I have a brand new baby. I think maybe down the line I would be into it, but then I watch the show, you guys, and those bitches don't play.
No, not at all.
And I'm like, I'm tough in the space I'm in, but would I be as tough in that space? Cause they don't hold back. And it's real life stuff that they're talking about. Not that that we don't, but our show is very much like, I don't want to say a watered down version, but I mean, no one's husband is
going to prison.
Exactly. Right. You said it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of housewives, we saw you on Salt Lake City because you're from Utah. Did you watch the whole season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? Do you think it was a good representation of your state?
And we loved seeing you. It was a real treat.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I do. I loved it. And people have such, they think of Utah and they're like, that's a weird place where it's like super white, which it is more so than, you know, not. So I get that. But it reminded me of the Utah that I know, people struggling in the Mormon church and wanting to like be done with it. Like these women fucking brought it. And like, that's the Utah I know. There's a little bit of crazy out there and it makes for great TV. And it's not so like, it's not as cookie cutter where I'm from, where as people think it is, where it's like people wake up, they go to church, boring. They really did a great job. I watched every episode and I hear that this next season is insane, you guys.
It should be pretty twisted with, you know, the FBI and everything.
Oh no. And I've heard that they're like in it. I think it's going to be one of the best seasons of the franchise.
Yeah. Wow. I think so too. It's like they really, it was a great show. And then this whole Jen Shah thing, like kind of brought it to the next level.
It did. And you know, Jen Shah, she's so sweet. And I walked into filming and it was like a high school reunion. It was like all of my friends that I went to school with were like her cousins or her brother. And I'm like, this is so crazy because I just expected, right. I just expected to walk in and be like, I'm from Utah. You're from Utah. No, I like knew these people from back in the day. So when I saw those headlines about Jen Shah, I was like, how could this be?
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow.
Well, congrats on the book. Everyone can pick it up. It's called Give Them Lala. And she's looking sickening on the front and the back. So check it out. Vanderpump Rules will be back any minute now. We really can't wait. Thank you so much for being here. Congrats on the book. Congrats on becoming a mom. And we're just so excited to see where life takes you next.
We really are.
Thank you so much for having me. I always love hanging out with you guys. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.